What a comforting thought. He is perfect in all of his ways. As you know, I've been enjoying teaching the parables of Jesus, the short stories Jesus told that illustrates kingdom principles. It lets us know what the kingdom of God is really like. But today I'm making a departure from that series. I'll get back to that. I'm not finished with the parables, but today I have a fresh word I believe is a right now word for some of us here, and I'm going to start by reading a few verses that are very familiar in Mark's Gospel, the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. I want to speak to you on the subject this morning, peace on demand. People who know the Lord and are on the way to heaven should be happier and have more peace than people who don't know the Lord that are on their way to hell. It's really a no-brainer. We should be happier and have a lot more peace. And I think one reason we do not, and there are many reasons, but one is simply we have not had the revelation that the peace of God is available to us and we can access it on demand. No matter what the circumstances are or your situation might be, as quickly as you can inhale and exhale, the peace of God can be realized in your spirit. We can access God's peace on demand. That's what Jesus did here. He, in the middle of a storm, walked out to the front of that boat and commanded peace to take the place of that confusion, that windstorm, that hurricane, that fierce wind blowing that was threatening the very lives of the disciples. He commanded peace, and it was. And I believe we can work with that. I think there's enough Bible for us to work with that. We should be happier and have more peace than those who do not know the Lord. And yet, so many Christians are seldom, if ever, happy and at peace. Peace should be the soundtrack of our lives if we're surrendered to the Prince of Peace. We should be the group of people on earth that God can set on display for the rest of the world to see what peace can really look like in the lives of a group of people. Now, peace and happiness are not quite the same thing. Everybody's in search of happiness, and we look for it everywhere. I will say this, though. You can't ever get to happiness if you don't know peace, real peace. I Googled, and there were 144,000 options in less than a second about happiness. The question is, how do we experience happiness? And everybody has a different answer. You can turn on the television and almost every talk show host is talking about it sooner or later. So many self-help books on the subject of how to find happiness and peace. Magazine covers are filled with it. You'll find books, 7 steps to joy, 5 steps to this, 3 steps to that. Some people think happiness is when you go belly up at the bar and get drunk and meet other miserable people. That's what makes some people happy. Every product commercial on television is saying in one way or another, buy our junk and you'll be happy. And so many people are sad and depressed and miserable and rely on medication just to get by from one day to the next. Now, if you're on medication right now in here today, I have no condemnation for you if you'll share it with me. We're going to have an invitation one of these days, an altar call. Bring your meds. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I know I'm just kidding. And I will say, please, I deal with people. I deal with people all the time. So let me say clearly, there is a legitimate a place for medication. I mean, some people get to their healing that way. It is legitimate sometimes, but I think we live in an overprescribed day. And some people take advantage of that and abuse it. And still, in spite of doctors' best efforts, cannot find the peace they're searching for. Google quotes, a truly happy person is one who can enjoy the scenery while on a detour. Happiness is not a place to arrive, but a manner of traveling. Happiness is largely a choice, not a right or an entitlement. I take some biblical issue with that. I think we have a right. I think we are entitled to spiritual peace, the peace of God. We have His word to stand on. Now, I don't like this word, but it was in the news this past week. I'll share the context with you. The word is unrest. That's what the disciples were facing in the boat. There was nothing restful about their situation. The ship tossed back and forth, water coming on board. It was already filling, the word says. Unrest, a total lack of peace. This past week on the news, I saw this subject line on CNN News. Israel, national unrest. National unrest. And what happened to cause it this past week was one man with a knife with a blade about that long attempted to stab somebody. And of course, he was shot pretty quickly and killed. And then that started several other copycats that wanted to take knives and challenge the peace in Israel. But one man with a little blade started what they're calling national unrest. And I learned from that news article, it doesn't take much to upset the peace. All it takes in a nation is one man with a knife. National unrest. But God wants His child to be at peace. And He's given us plenty of scriptures, promises in His word that guarantee us the peace of God. And I'm here to say you can have it on demand. You don't have to wait and be a victim of some random timing. You can have God's peace when you call for it, just like Jesus did. Now, I read somewhere a few weeks ago and it stuck with me. How many parents are in the room? Parents, you have your own child or children. Well, I have 2. And they're both good girls. But, you know, when one of them is at unrest, I am too. I read this statement somewhere a few weeks ago, and I quoted it to Brenda. The statement was this: you are never happier than your least happy child. Isn't that true for us parents? You're never happier than your least happy child. If you have 10 children and 9 of them are happy, 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 happy. But that 10th one is unhappy, mama gonna be a little unhappy. Daddy gonna be a little unhappy. Because you're never happier than your least happy child. And so I don't think it's possible for God to be unhappy and at unrest. But if our peace is challenged when one of our children is unhappy and at unrest, then how much more as a father does he love us than we are capable of loving our own children? Now, there is some scripture, and I have three secrets to reveal today. You've heard them all before. We're going to put them together and learn how to access the peace of God on demand, like Jesus displayed when he spoke to that wind and told it to be still, and it went from hurricane to a great calm with three words: on demand. In Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 6, we read this: be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Worry can do great physical harm even to our bodies. Worry will cause you to have ulcers. I'm talking physical disease here. High blood pressure. Migraine headaches. All because of anxiety, panic attacks, worry. Just the culture of our day falling on us all at once, it may seem. Heart disease is related to worry. Gastrointestinal disease. In other words, gas. You'll be all bloated. Oh, it is Sunday morning. I thought it was Wednesday for a minute here. I'm going to have to straighten it up here now. Really, physical symptoms of sickness and disease that are the byproducts of anxiety, panic, and worry. No peace ruling in our lives. So it's a big issue. We need to do something about it, and God's word tells us what to do. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you." Not as the world gives. Now, the world will offer a counterfeit way to peace. The world will say you can chant your way to a place of peace. Yoga, practice your biorhythms, pop pills, drink drinks, light aromatherapeutic candles, all in search of a happy place. I'm not against lighting a candle. But peace is not determined by what's out there. Peace is determined by what's in here. Amen. Three requirements to enjoy God's peace on demand. Number one is prayer. Prayer. When you have a concern, bring it to the Lord's attention. We just read it right there in Philippians. It said, by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. Now, of course, he knows it all anyway, but there's something that jump starts the process to bring our deliverance closer to us when we simply acknowledge to the Lord, I have a concern. I know you're aware of it. You saw it before I did. It did not catch you off guard. You are well able to take care of this. In fact, I'm going on record right now saying to heaven, I know you've already determined exactly how you're going to deliver me from this, and you already know exactly what hour you're going to do it. But I'm bringing to your attention my request in prayer. Prayer always. It's casting our cares over on the Lord. And it's like throwing a ball. Now, Jesus would use parables to illustrate, little stories to drive the point home of certain kingdom principles. I'm going to give you a parable right now of my own. It's like throwing a ball. It's like throwing a ball. If I had a ball right now, anybody got a ball out there? I didn't bring my ball this morning, but if I had a basketball and I was just dribbling right here, oh, as long as I had the ball in my hand and dribbling back and forth, I'm in control of that ball. That ball does what I say it. But now the minute I take that ball and I throw it, then the ball is no longer in my hand. The ball now is in the Lord's court. Casting your cares over on the Lord. Prayer, bringing your concern to the Lord's attention, is like taking that ball and throwing it to the Lord and realizing now the ball is in His court. My hands are off of it. It's in the Lord's hands now. I have brought it to His attention in prayer. And when you throw the ball into the Lord's court, you know He will respond at the proper time by giving us that which is for our ultimate good. I had funk going on. Oh, I don't remember what it was, but you know how those days are. Funk going on. I mean, I was distracted by this and that and the other, and it was challenging my peace. It was tempting me to get off into unrest. And the phone rang right in the middle of, you know, that little wind blowing. I forgot what it was about. You know how it is. The phone rang. It was a good friend of mine calling from Wisconsin. I hadn't heard from him in a while. He said, "Carl, I don't know what's going on with you. We've not talked in a while, but I felt like the Lord wanted me to call you and tell you, regardless of what's going on around you." It would be easy to think that the devil is up to all of that and other people are up to all of that, but the Lord wanted me to call you today, Carl, and tell you that God is in it all. Oh. Made me feel better. I lost weight right then, like 1,000 pounds, just knowing God is in it all. If you throw the ball into His court and trust Him for the next play, leave the move up to Him next, all things work together. God is in it all. There's a song, an old hymn that we don't sing, but the words are powerful. The songwriter wrote, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear." Anybody bearing any pain this morning that is needless? You could shed it in an instant if you took the ball and just put it in the Lord's court. "Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." So the first requirement to accessing the peace of God on demand is prayer. The second one, gratitude. Gratitude is making His praise glorious in your life. Gratitude. It says it right here. I just read it. Same verse. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer with thanksgiving." Now, that's a new twist on prayer right there for some of us, because usually prayer is nothing but, "Oh Lord, oh mercy me, oh pitiful me, oh Lord, give me, fix me, help me, deliver me, save me, rescue me, heal me, finance me. Me. It's right there. With prayer, with thanksgiving. And that means Before we ask for anything else, thank Him for what He's already given us. Gratitude. Making His praise glorious in our lives. We should submit our request with thanksgiving. One of the problems with not being able to access God's peace when we need it, when a storm is raging and we just sit it out and cross our fingers and hope for the best while we ride out the storm, rather than demanding the peace of God to move in here. Now, that's stronger than any external wind blowing. You can have the peace of God settled in your spirit in spite of the stock market, the doctor's report, the temperature, the flood level, whatever else is going on out there. But we fail to count our blessings. We should acknowledge how good God has already been. I say it like this. I've said it to you a dozen times. I've said it privately, one-on-one, 100 times in the last 30 days. If God can bring Sandra Matthews back from life support for over a month at the door of death to perfect health like she is today, then God can do this for Lerone Jackson. Now, what am I doing? What am I doing? I am bringing to the Lord's attention. We have a need. Our brother has a need, and we're all agreeing together for his healing. But at the same time, there's some gratitude working, because God, we thank you for what we've already seen you do in Sandra. If you can do that, then this is no problem right here. I don't know, some of you are new in the church. In fact, we had 49 people join the church a couple of weeks ago, plus their kids and children and babies, and we're grateful for that. We thank the Lord. But some of you were not here on January the 12th, 2012. I believe it was the 12th or the 15th. It was a Sunday morning. I was up here preaching. I had just started my message. And you know, about the preacher's worst nightmare. God. The preacher's worst nightmare. I was up preaching. I was 5 or 10 minutes into my message. And my sister Deborah, now she's moved further back now since this happened. she's almost out the door back there. But she was sitting right over up here, I think, somewhere about right in here, right there, the third row. Yeah, right there. My sister Deborah was sitting right here on this row. And she was sitting right there. Okay, you remember right there. He was sitting there. This 83-year-old man died right there. And I'm up here preaching. His name's Ken Walker, 83 years old. Had just moved down from Michigan to stay with his daughter, Sharon Ganey. And I'm up here preaching, and my sister Deborah, who thinks she's, because she's my sister, she can interrupt my message. And she stood up and said, "Carl, something's wrong." And everybody goes, "Huh?" And lo and behold, Mr. Ken Walker had fallen over and fell over in the floor. And several nurses were close. One had a stethoscope in her purse. And our ushers and security, they did all they could. But within 2 minutes, we realized he had no pulse, no heartbeat at all. He was dead. And so at that point, I remember. How many were here that day? Raise your hand if you were here that day. All right. Then you know how holy this moment was. So we didn't even pray for him. At that point, Sharon was obviously distraught. She had just lost a son in Afghanistan 3 months earlier. And now her father died. So all of us began to shift our focus, and we were praying for Sharon and for her to be comforted, and several of the ladies gathered around her. And of course, church now is over. I mean, we're all here, but hey, And we began, and an ambulance was called, and it took them 12 minutes to get here. And so he was stretched out on the floor. We were showing respect to the body as much as we could because we were focused on comforting Sharon. And 1 minute before, those doors burst open and the EMT personnel with a gurney rushed in after he had been breathless 11 minutes. He came back to life. He lifted up his head and he looked at me and he said, "I'm sorry." And it caught all of us off guard. This was not scripted. I didn't know what to say other than I remember saying, "Well, Mr. Walker, we've never had anybody die in our services before. We're glad you're all right." Wait. That's why I can say, you know, the charismatic movement is over. I mean, really, it was great, but we're not propping that up. It's over. We're waiting on a new thing right now. The reason I know it's over, because we didn't have a shout in the camp. I mean, normally, in the 80s, that would have happened. We'd have shouted. We'd still be in revival today. But hey, here's the way that ended. If you were here, you remember it. If you were here, you remember. We tiptoed out of here with such respect for God. There was a hush on this property. There was no shout in the camp. There was the awe and the reverence and a holy fear of God when we left here that day. And so, whatever your need might be, take it to the Lord in prayer. Bring it to His attention, but do it with a heavy dose of gratitude, knowing if He can raise the dead, He can meet your need. Another songwriter. I'm loving quoting songs. And you'll know this one. Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. Talk about going to the Lord with a prayer request and bringing gratitude with you. You can say it. Through many. Lord, I'm in danger right now. There's a trap set for me now. I need deliverance now, but let me go on record as saying, already I've come through many. Yes. You've come through for me over and over and over again, and I'm so grateful as I make this new request known. So the first is prayer. Bring it to the Lord's attention. The second requirement for accessing the peace of God on demand is gratitude. Make His praise glorious in your prayer life and in your lifestyle. And then the third one, and this one is the really important one. It's just as important as number one and number two, even though we don't give it the respect it deserves. The third requirement, and this is my last point, is fix your mind. That's the perfect peace prescription. Now, that sounds new agey. Some of you are going to turn it off, shut me down right there. Well, no, I was with him as long as he's talking about prayer. And Thanksgiving. Yeah, I'm all right with all that. But now fixing my mind? Oh, please. Hogwash. It's not that funny, Pastor Steve. I'll have what he's having. He's the perfect example that church should not be endured. It should be enjoyed. Right there on the front row. Fix your mind. If you want to access the peace of God on demand, you've got to fix your mind. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says, "You, O God, will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. I'll just say that I believe number three is just as important as number one and number two. Perfect peace. You want the perfect peace of God on demand? Then it's there instantly when your thoughts are fixed on the right thing. The Bible tells us how to do that. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, here's another verse of scripture in the New Testament. The New Living Translation says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. A rock songwriter wrote the words, if you want to be somebody else, change your mind. That's way true. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Now listen, if you're not born again, if you're not a child of God, if your spirit is dead and has never been born, if you've never had the new birth, your spirit coming alive, then you can come up here and receive Jesus, your spirit born again. You become a new creature spiritually. And then you can leave and go home and go about your day and your week and the rest of your life. You'll be a new creature in Christ. Spiritually, you are alive, but you'll still think the same old way. You'll still repeat the same cycles and patterns of behavior until you renew your mind. Change the way you think. That's what repentance really means, is to change your mind. To change the way you think. Repentance literally means to change direction. Now, a lot of sinners have gotten saved. They were idiots before they got saved. And there's still a lot of idiot in them after they get saved. Unless they let God transform them into a new person as He changes the way they think. It's so important. Some people over here enjoying church too. Shouldn't be endured. Hey, this should not be endured. This should be enjoyed. So it's what you fix your mind on that will determine whether you can access God's peace on demand or not. I'll just tell you right now, if you're sitting around wondering, oh, I wonder if the insurance is going to pay off like it's supposed to. Oh, I wonder when the doctor's office calls if it's going to be bad news. Oh, I wonder how much month I'm going to have left over at the end of my money. Oh, if that third toe on my left foot don't stop hurting, it's probably cancer of the toe. Oh, and we fixate. Our thoughts are so, worry. Listen, worry will make you sick even if you're not sick. Now, what's a good indicator as to what your mind is fixed on? The words coming out of your mouth. If you're hurting, then you ought to hear yourself say once in a while, I will live and not die, and declare the works of the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong. God will heal you. He can heal you. He has healed you. You're still mortal. He's not made any of us immortal. We still have that appointment with death, but that's going to be a great thing for those of us who've learned on this journey how the peace of God can rule in our lives. But let God transform you into a new person. By changing the way you think. That's what this journey is all about. From day one when you're born again, as soon as you're introduced and you meet the Lord for the first time, then you get into His Word. And that's really what happened on that ship that was being tossed on the stormy sea. The Word was on board, but the Word was asleep. The Word was dormant. Now, Jesus was on board. And we know Jesus and the Word of God are the same thing. John, the gospel writer, said, "The Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld him as the Son of God." So the Word of God and Jesus are the same thing. Jesus is the Word made flesh. And now, in our day, made spirit, living in here. And so many of you are going through storms, and you know the Lord. He's on board your ship, but he may be dormant. He may not be speaking. He may be asleep. You've allowed him to go to sleep on board. Now, he's on board, I'm sure, but may not be actively speaking. That's why the very breath I breathe, we sang it this morning, your very word spoken to me. We're alive because his very word speaks to us. And from the moment we're born again, we still think the same old way until we get into God's word. And our mind is renewed and transformed to think a new way, to think the way his word tells us to think. And I'll tell you, the Bible has so much to say about what we should fix our mind on. If you want your mind to remain in perfect peace, then fix it on the Lord. It's a promise right there. But then I'll give you two verses of scripture right here in this cluster, Philippians 4. We just read two verses. Let's read two more. It tells you what to think about. Philippians 4, verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Next verse. "These things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you." The God of peace will be with you. So there, if you need a list of things to think on, we've just been given a list of good things to think on. This is what we should fix our thoughts on. Not what the devil might be up to or what an enemy might be up to, and we fix and worry and we are anxious and we panic and all of that. No. Even in the middle of a storm, look out. And speak peace. Tell that storm to be still. And the peace of God is ours for access. I believe we can do it on command. At least I believe we can do a better job than what we've been doing. We can make the choice to find something to be glad about instead of something to be sad about. Sounds like a country western song. Something to be glad about instead of something to be sad about. And finally, I'm closing with Colossians. I love this verse of scripture. There are two verses, Colossians 3, 15 and 16. And parts of those two verses put together read like this. "Let the peace of God rule." Let the peace of God rule. And then the next verse says, "Let the word of Christ dwell." Let the peace of God rule. And let the word of Christ dwell. Probably the most important word in that passage is the word let. Just let it. Just allow it. Just flow with it. You don't have to force it. You don't have to work it up. Don't push it. Don't force it. Let it happen. Supernaturally, just let the peace of God rule. And let the word of Christ dwell richly. That's all we have to do. We can rest in it. There's a rest factor right there. Just throw that ball. It's in his court. God, I'm so grateful for all you have done. This is nothing to you. And I'm just going to let. I'm going to let your peace rule and reign in my heart and mind. The Bible says that. In your heart and mind. I'm going to let the word of Christ dwell richly. My, my, what a safe place. What a peaceful place. What a restful place. What good news this is to somebody struggling with storms in your life. Would you stand with me, please? Everybody stand. Bow your head.